Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to the program. Today's theme is love and trust, and it's based on a program prepared by members of our group in Wellington. It'll consist largely of articles from previous issues of Share International magazine, the first of which was written by a group member in Wellington in August 2000. Sean O'Donnell starts with a brief introduction to the emergence of the world teacher. The theme of these programs is that the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius is in the world. He has begun his work and is awaiting general recognition. His personal name is Maitreya. He is the head of the spiritual hierarchy, which is the only source of enlightenment for this planet. All great advances in all fields of human endeavor have been initiated by members of the spiritual hierarchy under the inspiration of one of the Masters of Wisdom. And these include advances in the fields of science, religion, art, music, government, social and economic justice. In July 1977, Maitreya descended from the centre of the hierarchy in the Himalayas and took a commercial flight to London. This was his chosen mode of entering the modern world, and he's been there ever since. Maitreya is the one awaited by all the religions. They know him under different names. Christians know him as the Christ, Buddhists as the Buddha Maitreya, Hindus as Krishna, Muslims as the Imam Mahdi, and Jews as the Messiah. Maitreya's theme is always the need for brotherhood and sharing, which is essentially the teaching he gave through Jesus 2,000 years ago. In the meantime, while he awaits recognition, Maitreya is appearing to groups of fundamentalists of all religions as part of his plan to soften up the objections of those wedded to outworn dogmas. And just as a side note, he did do that for a few years, but that was, I think, about two decades ago now. I'm not sure whether Maitreya still appears to groups of fundamentalists. I think the focus now is on his television interviews. He's appearing incognito in interviews in major world media in different countries. And when there's sufficient recognition or response to his energies and his message, then that will act as a catalyst for him to publicly declare himself. Anyway, back to the article. Sometimes Maitreya is met by general acceptance, sometimes by amazement, and sometimes by consternation by those who believe that their doctrines alone provide the only way to salvation. Maitreya has also appeared to hundreds of individuals and leaves on them an impression which lasts for years. He has appeared in many forms, such as a young man or old man, young woman, black or white. He does this deliberately so that we will learn to recognize him by our heart's love, not by a particular physical appearance. None of us are just physical bodies. We are divine souls occupying physical bodies. Maitreya knows that and is trying to teach us to experience our innate divinity. The Christ embodies the love of God and seeks to evoke our ability to love in return. In the solar system, God is love. But we know little about what love really is. It is a much misunderstood word. Everything evolves, including solar systems. In the earlier solar system, many, many billions of years ago, God personified intelligence. The goal then was to develop this ability and was successfully accomplished. In our solar system, the goal for all humanity is to develop intelligence and then to voluntarily put our intelligence at the service of our loving and caring souls. In this way, we will intelligently fulfill the plan of God and implement the divine plan for brotherhood and sharing. So, what is love as understood by Maitreya and the Masters? Love is an energy, basically the energy of attraction, which unifies everyone and everything and destroys separation. Everything's energy, as Einstein discovered, and evolution is essentially a process of growing step by step to recognize and respond to finer and finer energies. The Christ is here to help us speed up that process. Then we will cooperate instead of competing, share with others instead of grasping, and put into practice Maitreya's instruction to give priority to providing food for all, housing for all, healthcare and education for all. In the New Testament, we read this teaching given by the Christ through Jesus. He said, "Whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundantly. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has." In this materialistic age, this passage is often interpreted materialistically, and some even believe that it refers to money. But nothing in Christ's teaching is materialistic. The passage actually refers to love. Those who have love and give it to others will receive his love and have it in abundance. This is easy to understand if we remember that everything is energy. Those who have love are those who have developed this energy in themselves and vibrate to the energy we call love. That makes them capable of receiving it also. All is vibration, and divine love is a very high form of vibration, higher than emotion or intelligence. Only senior members of the hierarchy can respond to this energy in perfection, but we can all respond to it in some measure if we choose. Christ was never gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Such a person never existed. Love is a dynamic energy. Christ gave a hint of that in his teaching, which was recorded in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 to 36. "Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." In two of the messages Maitreya gave through Benjamin Krem, he referred to this sword of cleavage. He said, "The sword which I bring, that love which I am." As we look at the world today, we see that his prophecy over 2,000 years ago is coming true today. His love, which is pouring into humanity as never before, is clearly dividing people into two groups, those who believe in cooperation and those who believe in competition. The division is most clear in the economic sphere, but exists also in racial, religious, and political issues. Maitreya has placed a lot of emphasis on the political sphere of life. He has appeared to many world leaders and initiated the healing of divisions. Among those to whom he has appeared, and of course this article was written in 2000, so these figures are from that era, back to the article, to those he has appeared are President Bush and Mr. Gorbachev, leading to the ending of the Cold War. Next were Nelson Mandela and the President de Klerk, leading to the end of apartheid in South Africa. His appearances to King Hussein of Jordan and Yasser Arafat initiated the peace process in the Middle East. Benjamin Krem says that the Middle East is the key to world peace. He says when the Middle East settles down, the world will settle down. In 1944, before Maitreya had announced his intention to teach in person, the master Joao Kuhl explained the aspect of love which Maitreya would bring, and the quote is, "The vision which many have of the influence and work of the Christ is that of a great appearance which will end all strife, inaugurate the new era of peace and goodwill, soothe the hearts of the people, and lead mankind into realms of beauty and happiness. They believe he will be the consummation of the wishful thinking of countless minds down the ages. He will be the solace of distressed humanity. He will sweetly love and quietly deal with his own people, and will sweep the evildoer out of the earth and prevent that evildoer from again molesting the peace of the world." And the quote goes on, "I tell you that such a picture does not enter into the vision of reality at all. It is based on theological interpretations and human selfishness. It is founded on the misery of mankind and on the failure of disciples and aspirants everywhere to grasp the true nature of love and the real vision of the hierarchical plan. It is the fire of love which he will bring. It is the message of the purificatory fire which he will sound. He will not teach anent the waters of purification, as has hitherto been the symbolic imparted truth. He will impart the fire which burns and destroys all barriers in man's nature, all separating walls between individuals, between groups, and between nations. Are you prepared as individuals, as disciples, and aspirants to submit yourselves to this fire?" And that concludes John O'Donnell's article. I'm going to now read an excerpt from one of Maitreya's messages. It's number 63, as given through Benjamin Krem. "My dear friends, I am happy indeed to be among you once more in this way. My friends and brothers, I am happy also to tell you that my emergence into full and public vision has commenced. For yourselves soon, therefore, will you see that the Prince of Peace has returned, that your brother of old once again walks among men, that the preacher has returned in a new guise, but is essentially the representative of God. When you see me, you will know, my friends, that the new time indeed has begun, the time of building the new signposts to the future, the time to establish among all peoples correct relationship and trust, to advance together in harmony and sharing, lighting a path for those who will follow. When you see me, you will know this. You will know also that I come not as a god omnipotent to rule, but simply as an elder brother to show you the way." This next article is from Benjamin Krem's master, and it was first featured in Jan National Magazine in June 1986. It's titled "The Need to Love," and it begins as follows. "From time to time, there arises in the minds of men the concept of love. The idea of love as a natural instinct which demands expression engages men's thought, and steps are taken through argument and discourse to demonstrate that this is so. Thus has it been for millennia. The notion that love is somehow central to man's nature has never failed to find adherence. This being so, is it not surprising that so little love finds expression in the day-to-day activity of men? Almost without exception, men live in fear. They see the world and life as threatening and build an armor of defense against these threats. Thus do they limit their capacity to love. Their love atrophies and dies or hides behind aggression and hate. Bereft of love, man sickens. conscious of his inner worth, unable to call it forth, man projects his fears and hates upon his neighbours and his world. Where love rules, harmony governs. Without that harmony, naught may proceed with confidence. Failing confidence, little can be achieved. Fear inhibits the expression of love. Love annihilates fear. Seeking to express his love, but limited by fear, man loses his way. Lost in the quicksand, his struggles only serve further to entrap him. Wherein then lies the remedy? In order to love, man must trust. Where trust is not, love cannot be. Love arises spontaneously in the trusting heart, for love is the true nature of man. Learn then to trust and demonstrate the love which is ever ready to shine forth. Trust is the acceptance of life and all its pain and beauty. Trust is the sure knowledge that all is working towards the good, that all is under law, and that that law is administered with justice. Learn to trust and banish fear. Banish forever the mechanism of limitation and open wide the floodgates of love. When man loves, he draws to himself all possibilities. The magnet of love, through identity of vibration, attracts all requirements. Thus is love the lever of evolution. Consider a world without love. Such hideousness appalls the imagination. Why should this be so? Instinctively, man recognizes the need for love, and soon will understand the need to love. He will come to know that love links him to all others in an endless chain. Tentatively, perhaps, at first, he will begin to trust. Step by step, he will conquer his fear. Then will he enter into that blessed state where fear has no place, where love sits calmly on its throne, bestowing its grace on all who come near. For man, then, to live is to love. Fear, the usurper, must be eschewed and overcome. Trust engenders love and destroys that fear, revealing the God who dwells forever within. Trust and faith are one, reflections of the inner divinity. Trust that divinity, allow it to radiate as love, and know the end of fear. And got a time here for another excerpt from one of the Master's articles. This is from the one titled The Need for Action. Firstly, true peace depends on trust, which arises only when the law of justice is fulfilled. The great and widening gap between the lifestyles of the rich and poor, nationally and between the nations, is today the greatest block to the achievement of peace. Divergent ideologies play their divisive part, but this factor is diminishing in potency. More important by far is the ingrained complacency and greed of the developed world. And one more quote from an article by the Master. This is from The Need for Trust. Trust, the reflection of love, arises spontaneously when fear subsides. Trust alone can create miracles of cooperation and lead to actions otherwise impossible. Thus it is in the world today. Under the impress and inspiration of the Christ, the leaders of the nations are beginning to trust. In the individual sphere, the need for trust is paramount. And we're running out of time, so I'll leave it at that. Thank you very much for listening. For more information, check out the website, share-international.org. Wishing you all a lovely week.